Colossians chapter 4, and we've got a series going on the subject of the church and prayer, and we're going to be in a couple of different passages tonight. I'm going to begin here in Colossians chapter 4, and since we're teaching on the church and prayer, let's do that right now. Let's have prayer together. Father, speak to our hearts tonight from your book, your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the emphasis that we are able to enjoy this year on the matter of prayer. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't lose our concentration, our effort going forward, that, Lord, you just continue to help us to put forth our part, our responsibility to pray. And, Lord, knowing that you hear and you answer prayer, speak to us tonight in Jesus' name and amen. Okay, a couple of lessons so far. We know prayer has power because a lot of things in the Bible, a lot of things in our personal lives, Peter was released from prison in a miraculous display of God's power in relation to the church's prayer in Acts chapter 12. And we kind of talked about that as it pertains to our church, all right, and praying for God to do great and mighty wonders here at Faith Baptist Church. And people, I just really believe that God is answering that prayer. We're seeing good things happen. We're supposed to have folks baptized this Sunday who've been saved recently, and I'm just very encouraged by the Lord's work. So prayer has the ability to move the hand of our powerful God. Then we also know prayer should be the first priority of a church and probably us as individuals as well. Paul told Timothy that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Doesn't take much to understand first of all. Okay, doesn't take rocket science. And we will be blessed when we put first what God has said to put first. And now we see something else about prayer from two different passages tonight, both of them written by the Apostle Paul. And tonight we're going to look at the potential in prayer. We looked at the power in prayer. Prayer has power. We looked at the priority of prayer, first of all. And tonight I want to look at the potential in prayer. We're going to be in Colossians 4. Look at verse number 2. We're going to learn here about the potential prayer has when it comes to an open door. The potential for an open door. He said in verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So stop right here. We got another text, another verse where prayer and thanksgiving are combined. We've been on this subject before, so I'm not going to just bear down on it again tonight. But people, I'm not sure that we comprehend the protective result of a thankful heart. The protective result of a thankful heart. One thing that a thankful heart protects us from is being lifted up in pride. Because it is my determination from Scripture that pride and thanksgiving don't dwell in the same heart. Now, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think the best example of this is God's creation of the angelic being that we know as Lucifer. Because he wasn't Satan at the beginning. He wasn't called the devil. He wasn't called the tempter. His name was Lucifer. And if Lucifer had possessed a thankful heart, he would never have been lifted up in pride. God gave him the most exalted position of all the angelic creation. I believe that's what we learn from Ezekiel chapter 28. He was the anointed cherub. The anointed cherub. He wasn't just an angel, he was the anointed cherub who walked on the stones of fire. I believe that's talking about the throne room of God. I believe he was the angelic creation. He was the angel who was closest to the throne of God. The most exalted position of all the angelic creation, and yet he was not grateful, and because he was not grateful, pride bit him, and it bit him hard. Now, how do we know that pride was the sin that caused Lucifer to fall and become the devil? We know that from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, where the Bible says that when you're choosing a pastor, it says not a novice, not a young man, not a proven, yeah, you've got to be a proven man, not an unproven man, lest being lifted up with pride, listen, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So don't get a young man who's unproven to be a pastor because there's things in the ministry that lead to pride. If he's not careful, his heart will get lifted up in pride just like Lucifer's did, and God will have to deal with him like he dealt with Lucifer. Pride was Lucifer's sin. You also know that from Isaiah 14. I will. What's the middle letter of the word pride? I. Self-will. Self-will is fueled by pride. So if we keep a thankful heart, it will protect us from growing prideful, that we're entitled. We're not happy with what God has given us. We want something more for our own purposes. We get that kind of thinking, folks. Get lifted up in pride. I'm going to tell you, I've said it over and over again. You won't find one thing in God's word that said good about pride. Not one thing. Not one thing. So it's a horrible, horrible thing. Okay? Now, look at verse 2 again. Notice the words. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. So our prayers should always be seasoned with thanksgiving. Even in the darkest of seasons, thanksgiving should dwell in our hearts and should be expressed with our mouth. Okay, now, look at verse number 3. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So Paul requested that they pray for him and his traveling group of men as they traveled from city to city, preaching and witnessing and doing the work of the ministry. He said, would you pray for us? And he was specific about what they needed. He called it a door of utterance. A door of utterance. Now, utterance means a word uttered by a living voice. So Paul is referring to talking or speaking. But this talking and speaking is not just in a general sense. It's not, hey, how's the weather? You know, how's everything going at the farm? How's the crops looking? No, no. It's talking and speaking about something in a specific sense. And we'll see that in just a minute. But there are some lessons about this utterance that will help us understand the potential in prayer. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 real quick, then we'll get to the second passage. First of all, I want you to see this. God opens this door of utterance. God opens it. He says in verse number 3 that God would open. So when Paul asked this church to, what he asked them to pray for, this church to pray for, could only be done by God. This could not be done by technology. This could not be done by professional marketing. This could not be done by some high-powered seminar on 7 ways to effective utterance. Couldn't be done by that. And isn't this part of the potential of prayer that we need God to do what we cannot do? And folks, stop. Whoa, wait. The truth is that covers an extremely broad spectrum because Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So he said, I want you to pray. And I want you to pray that God would open. What we need done, only God can do. The fact that Paul needed God to do what he was asking for meant that the potential of that prayer was unlimited. Why? Because God can do what he pleases. He's got all the power in the world and the whole universe to do it. And so Paul makes sure the church knows that if his request, what he's asking them to pray for, he said, pray with us. And if this request is going to be answered, God is going to have to do it. You facing anything like that in your life? Well, you're in a good place because there's potential in prayer. Number 2, I want you to see this door was presently closed. He said that God would open unto us a door. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked somebody to open a door that was already open? You ever gone to a door that's open and said, please open the door for me? They look at you and want to get you in a white jacket and haul you away somewhere. No, you don't ask somebody to open a door that is open, okay? But all of us have come to a closed door, maybe grocery bags, ladies, or whatever. Hey, somebody comes by, hey, could you please get that door for me, okay? So that's what Paul says. He said, I need God to open a door. So that means that the door is presently closed. Now, what's he talking about? Why is the door closed? All right, let me give you some verses. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world, little g, God of this world, hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The minds of the lost world, the lost people in this world, their minds are blinded. And truth must be seen, it must be accepted, it must be acted upon for salvation to be received. So in essence, the door to the mind is closed, and Paul knew that only God could open it. So Paul's going from city to city, he's preaching the gospel, and he's encountering, no doubt, in these cities, closed minds. Closed minds. So he says, church, would you please pray for us? Because what we need to see happen, only God can do, and we need an open door because presently too many doors are closed. Too many doors are closed. Now I want you to see number three. A door meant an entrance. Open unto us a door. Now doors provide a measure of privacy, right? Okay. They also provide an exit from a room, but they also provide an entrance into a room. And in this case, Paul was asking for a portal. He was asking for an entrance, an opportunity to talk or speak to people where there was currently no entrance. I need an opening. I need an opening. The door's closed and we need an opening. We need something to enter in, okay? So God opens the door, this door, and this door was presently closed. And a door meant an entrance. And then number four, the open door was for a specific message. Verse three, to speak the mystery of Christ. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's not asking for God to help him with a job. And church, look, I'm not against somebody saying, tonight, Lord, help Tom find a different job. That's great. I'm glad we can pray for Tom that way and other men who need help with work from time to time. But Paul's not talking about a job interview here. He's not talking about a loan from the bank. He's not talking about how to apply for Medicare. He's not asking for help with any of that. He's asking for utterance, for an opportunity to speak a word about the gospel of Christ. He wanted the gospel of Christ because that's the light. That's the light. The glorious gospel has the light, which it breaks in that blinded mind, that closed door. All the work it can do in the heart of a person who will receive it. Paul was going to speak about Christ wherever he went. Look at verse 4. That I may make it manifest. I want to make the gospel known. I want the gospel to be heard, more than heard. I want it to be received. I want it to be believed. I want it to be acted upon. And we need your prayers because the prayer has the potential to open this door that is currently closed. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 16 and 17, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Don't pat me on the back because I preach the gospel. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul, don't pat me on the back for preaching the gospel. It's been committed to me. I'm supposed to do it. And woe to me if I don't. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul was saying, whether I want to or not, really doesn't matter. Now, if I'll do it willingly, I'll get a reward. But even if I'm not willing, I'm supposed to because this has been committed to me. And folks, hasn't that same thing been committed to all of us? And hasn't that been committed to our church as a whole? To get the gospel to our community, that we should be ready to talk about the gospel. I was on the plane Friday night to, Akron, Ohio, at a men's meeting Friday night, Saturday morning. Tony Hudson and I preached there together. Brother Tony's a mess. If y'all ever heard him on the internet, he's a mess. But anyway, I preached there together to Brother Mark O'Donnell, his church out there, Community Baptist, good man, good church. And Joe Hansen was there. Showed up Friday night, so he went out to visit some friends, him and Becca, for the spring break, and he came to the service. So I said, Joe, come on, man, you're on spring break. You don't have to come to church to hear your pastor again. But anyway, I was on the plane. It was an ordeal. I was at the airport. The plane was 4.5 hours late, delayed, for those of you that have traveled and enjoyed those times in the airport. So I got on the plane, a little bit frustrated, a little bit. and I sat by a black man. And so started talking to him. His name was Anthony. I said, where are you from? Because he had a little bit of accent. He said, I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota. He said, but my parents were from Ghana. And at 4 years of age, I moved to Ghana. And then I moved back here to the States, and I lived in the St. Louis area. And I said, well, and I don't know how it came up, but he asked me, he said, where are you from? And I told him where I was from and where are you going? I told him I was going to go speak at a men's conference. He said, well, I go to church. And I said, where do you go to church? He named the church. I don't think it was a Baptist church in the St. Louis area, Brother Bragg. And that man had a solid salvation testimony. Solid. Now, here's why I'm telling you the story. He said, you know, at our church, our pastor, he's got that accent from Ghana. He said, our church, our pastor challenged us to start tithing. So he said, so I started tithing to our church. We started tithing. He said, you don't know who I am, so it doesn't hurt me to tell you this. We gave $24,000 last year to our church in our tithes. And I said, that's wonderful. It's wonderful, Anthony. And he said, but I told my wife not long ago that we're supposed to be blessed from this. Where are the blessings? Where are the blessings? And I said, well, Anthony, they're not always monetary in nature. And he's listening. And I said, sometimes it's this or that, plus you're obeying God. He said, well, let me tell you what happened. He said, my wife's uncle is extremely wealthy and lives outside of Cleveland. And he said, I have a 16-year-old daughter. And a couple of days ago, he called me and he said, Anthony, her birthday's coming up on April the 1st. He said, Anthony, I have a 2020 Volkswagen Passat. Is that a Volkswagen? Yeah. I have a 2020 Volkswagen Passat that I want to give to your daughter. I'm buying you an airplane ticket. Fly out here to Cleveland. Pick it up. And he said, there's my blessing. Good for you. And I had the most wonderful time talking to this man here. And told me how that his wife had been Catholic and he kept witnessing to her and got her to a church where she heard the gospel and she got saved and the kids are saved. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But now, this is what Paul's saying. He said, everywhere I'm going, I'm going to make the gospel manifest. But it's closed mind, it's closed door after closed door after closed door after closed door church. Would you pray for me that God will open a door of utterance? A door of utterance. Paul already had it settled. He's going to speak about Christ. He just wanted the door to be open when he spoke. He knew that the minds were blinded. Only God could provide the opening. He needed to get the message of the gospel. If he could just have a message. You know, how many times do you sit on an airplane, those of you that fly, and the person doesn't even want to... Your name, the Holy Grunt. You can't even. How you doing? Okay. I mean, you can't even. You knock on the door and people just, you know, they come to the door and take the thing, and go right away. Okay, that's what Paul's praying for. Look, I'm going to get the gospel out, but I'd like for there to be an open door, a door of utterance. The potential for this was in God's hand, but the church could join him in praying that doors would open for him to preach the gospel. And brother, you talk about a great request for our church to start asking God, God, please give us an opening to witness to this person or my coworker or any person. And Lord, when I do, please give me utterance. Give me the words to make truth known to that person. And that's you know, the prison ministry. You know, as they're going up here in April, do you know how much false doctrine is taught at the prison? Oh, my gracious. And to try to cut through all that false doctrine with the light of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, it needs a door of utterance. It needs a door of utterance. We made some plans today to include the senior saints, Brother Todd, in your class specifically. I'm excited about this. We're going to make it possible for the senior saints at a specific time during the week, one day, probably Tuesday morning, if you're able and want to have a conference call, you senior saints who are at home, where you call this number and then you put in a code and there's a host. And as a group, you folks pray for a door of utterance as people go out. A door of utterance. This is what Paul's asking for. A door of... I'll probably taking too much time on this, but I'll cut two illustrations out and just give you one. I got three. I got a phone call yesterday. I'm not going to use the name. It was a young couple who came here many, many years ago. Okay? And he and his wife got saved. And they got baptized. And they got in, even went to a couples retreat way, way back when Brother Woodward was just starting out with it. And then they moved, the job moved them away. They were in the military, and the job moved them away. And things didn't go well. And they got a divorce. Since then, he's remarried. And when they were out in churches in California, he said, we were going to all these churches in California. And he said, honestly, we didn't get a thing. So we moved over here outside of Indianapolis, east of Indy. He said, Solid Rock Baptist Church. He said, I walked in the door and said, Faith Baptist. That's what he said. And he just called to say thank you to me and the church. But now, here's the story of their salvation. We had they were coming here. They were visiting. I don't know how many times myself, Brother Caleb, maybe even Brother Jason, had gone by to catch this couple. We could never catch them at home, ever. Ever. It's crazy. We had an all-night prayer meeting here, fellas, one of those all-night prayer meetings. That we started about whatever time it was, 10:30, 11, went till 5 o'clock in the morning. Some of you might remember that. All-night prayer meeting. And we had a specified amount of time to pray for particular, by name, lost people. And we prayed for this couple on Friday during that all-night prayer meeting. We prayed for this couple by name. We prayed that God would give us an opportunity to sit down with them and give them the gospel. That was Friday. That was probably early, sometime Saturday morning. So we left here about 5 or 5:30. I went to the house and got a few hours sleep. Came back over here to the church about, I don't know, late morning. Did a couple things around here. And then, okay, I want to go out and make two or three visits. And I thought, you know, I'm going to call that couple. And I called him up, and he answered the phone. I said, can I come over? He said, sure. And he came. I came. I went over there, and the husband and the wife sat down around the kitchen table and trusted Christ as their Savior, came here and were baptized. It was a direct result of that time that we spent in prayer, fellas, in the middle of the night. That's the potential here, folks. All we needed was an open door. That's all we needed. Just an open door. Prayer has the potential to open doors for the gospel to be preached. And so think about that this spring. As we start the spring program here in a couple of weeks, it'll be April the 14th, I believe. Brother Adam will announce it this coming Sunday night. And there's opportunities to get involved and inviting people. Maybe there's somebody that you've been trying to witness to, a coworker, a relative, a neighbor, somebody, and that there's just been a closed door. A closed door. You can't get to the subject with them. It's always this, that, or the other. And always something. And so maybe that's what we need to pray for. Just a door of utterance. Lord, an open door of utterance for me. Opened unto us a door of utterance, not to talk about the bears and the draft and all, that's okay, but to speak the mystery of Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We all right tonight? Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So the potential to open doors for the gospel to be preached. Now, here's another passage that teaches us about a potential in prayer. One verse, the first verse of chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Why? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So he asked the Corinthian, the Colossian church, pray that I might have an open door of utterance. And then he asked the Thessalonian church, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. Now, the word free means being at liberty. You've heard preachers say maybe that they had good liberty in their preaching. I've said that before. Had a lot of liberty Sunday. Had a lot of liberty in this service. I've been to churches where there wasn't a lot of liberty to preach. And unless you've ever preached, you may not know what I'm talking about. But there's little resistance. There's a sense of freedom in the pulpit. Look, you know, I landed 4.5 hours late. Did I land? 2 and 8. It's 4 hours late. 4 hours late. And the guy picked me up at the airport. It's 9 o'clock. We're driving to the church. And I said, well, I guess it's, he said, well, they're kind of waiting. If you're up to it, they're waiting for you. It's 9 o'clock. And I'm saying, okay. And Steve Cavanaugh, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And I said, well, I don't want to tell you what I really think, but I walked into the church and into the pulpit at 10 after 9 and had the time of my life. There was liberty. You know what gives a preacher in a visiting pulpit, a strange pulpit, liberty? The man that stands in that pulpit preaches the whole counsel of God. And when he does that, a visiting preacher coming in has liberty. Has liberty. The word, it means being at liberty. Okay? Then the word course. He said free course. Course means a place to run. If you're interested in staying in shape physically, if you're interested in it, you go somewhere, spend a few days, you might try to find a track in town, in the community, to run on, right? A place to run. Paul said to this church at Thessalonica, he said, please pray that God's word will be at liberty to run on track and be glorified in the lives of people, even as it has with you. So he's here, he's not talking about just them getting saved. He's talking about the word of the Lord, yes, getting saved, and then just to keep running in their lives, sanctifying them, and God's word being glorified in their life. Do you realize, folks, that we're either bringing glory to God's word or not by how we live? So he is thinking back on his time in Thessalonica. That's his second missionary journey. We got it in Acts chapter 17. I was going to have you turn there, but for sake of time, I won't. Paul went to Thessalonica, and the Bible says there in chapter 17 that he preached to them over the course of 3 Sabbath days. So he comes into town, and he preached on a Sabbath. He stayed a week, and he preached the next Sabbath, and he stayed another week and preached the 3rd Sabbath. And his message was the gospel. And many people got saved, and they associated with Paul and Silas. And then trouble begins. All kinds of trouble. And in verse 10, they're immediately sent away. People, they were not in Thessalonica, but for a very short period of time. They were in Corinth 18 months. They're in Thessalonica just a little over maybe 3 or 4 weeks, probably between 3 and 4 weeks. That's all. But the word of the Lord had such free course. The word of the Lord had such liberty to run its course unhindered in the lives of those people who believed, and that church at Thessalonica became a model church in the first century. A model church. He said about this church to them, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. They're talking about your faith everywhere I go. And he was only there 3.5 weeks, maybe. You know what happened? The word of the Lord had free course in their lives, was glorified in their lives. Now, let me tie it together here. Remember back in the model prayer, it all starts with God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Whose kingdom? Thy kingdom. The advancement of your kingdom, God, whether that means Jesus comes and the process begins to set up his kingdom, that would be wonderful. But Lord, your kingdom would also advance by souls being saved and saints being sanctified. Oh, yeah, don't tell me, folks, that a city, a community wouldn't be turned upside down by a bunch of folks getting saved and then their lives being changed. Thy kingdom come. your kingdom advance. Move forward. And if Jesus isn't coming to set up his kingdom yet, Lord, at least help us to see souls saved and help us to see saints sanctified. I've been praying that every morning since we started this year. Souls saved, saints sanctified. Saints, you know, okay. Say that 10 times, right? Saints sanctified. What's Paul asking for here in these two texts? Please give me an open door of utterance to preach the gospel, to see people saved. And please, once they're saved, that the word of the Lord would have free course. Liberty to run unhindered. How's the word of the Lord running in my life? How's the word of the Lord running in your life? Is there resistance? Is it being hindered? He said that the word of the Lord has free course in a believer's life. The word of God is glorified. You're not going to wave your King James Bible high and holler, this is the word of God, and I believe. Hey, that's okay. You want to bring glory to it? Let it have free course in your life. Run unhindered. So church, here's what we can pray for. This is the potential of prayer. It's an open door of utterance and free course. We ought to add those two things. Brother Andrew, we ought to add those two things to the Sunday night prayer list, the screen. We ought to pray for an open door of utterance and for the Lord, word of the Lord to have free course. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, help us, please, I pray, in this area. Help us to learn the power of prayer, Lord. Help us to make prayer the right priority in our life. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize prayer's potential. The potential for an open door of utterance to give the gospel. The potential for the word of the Lord to have free course in the life of someone who's been saved. Oh, Lord, what a great testimony in a workplace. What a great testimony in a family with extended family that's lost. God, to see a life just changed from the inside out after being saved. And Lord, help us not to hinder. Help us to let the word of the Lord have free course in our life. And help us to pray about these things because we see the potential that's in prayer. And thank you for it, Lord. It's such a blessing to know all this. Help us to act upon it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you don't know that you're saved, this is a great night to come trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If you don't know that you're saved, we'd love to show you how you can be saved tonight. You can talk to us after the service. Just come let me know. I'll find somebody to help you. Might help you myself. That the word of the Lord, that an open door of utterance, Lord, just an opportunity. An opportunity. To have an opportunity to share the gospel. And then that the word of the Lord might have free course. Just run unhindered, run on that track. Changing, making changes, helping, empowering, blessing. Give us that open door of utterance. And Lord, may the word of God have a free course in lives.